Verse 27. And it came to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck. The yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. And we have said this refers to the anointing of Jesus. I've said it before, the anointing is not the Holy Spirit, but the anointing of Jesus is the Holy Spirit. You understand that clearly? So the anointing of Jesus is what is being referred to here. And we have since seen that we share in the same anointing by the reason of identification. He said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Matthew 18:20. As we go to preach the gospel and teach the gospel, Matthew 28:20. Lo, I am with you till the end of the age. Mark 16:20. And the Lord walking with the word and confirming the same with signs following. So we identify with the anointing of Jesus. What we receive is a function of identification. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 7. So in technical terms, really there is no individual anointing. There's just individual expressions of the anointing on Jesus. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 4, there are diversities of gifts but the same Spirit. There are differences of administration but the same Lord. In other words, we have all received the same Spirit, but they are diversified. Demonstrations of the same Spirit is the same Lord, but different ministries of the same Lord. Diverse of operations, verse 6, for the same God that worketh all in all. So in technical sense, everybody shares in the anointing of Jesus. Ephesians chapter 4, I'm going to read verse 7. Verse 4, there is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called into one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But to every one of us, he is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So what we have is a function of identification. Christ is everything. We only identify with him in the anointing and the anointings of the anointed. Romans chapter 12 and verse 6. Romans chapter 12 and verse 6. Let me start from verse 4. For as we have many members in one body, all members have not the same function, the same office. For we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of the other. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the portion of faith, and went on and on. But the point there is that we being many are one body in Christ. So we are just sharers in the anointing of Jesus. And we have said very clearly that the anointing is for a purpose. The anointing is to to lift burdens and to destroy yokes. The anointing is to preach the gospel and to teach the gospel. The anointing, I want you to listen very well. The anointing is not to feel good. Thank God for the demonstration of the power of God that we see. Thank God for worship. Thank God for the teaching of God's word. Thank God for the demonstrations of the laugh in the spirit, the dance in the spirit. People falling under the power of God, visions and revelation and all that. But you see, the essence of everything is to be able to take the gospel to the nations. So tonight I want to share with you something very, very dear to my heart in this conference. And I believe it's, where I talked earlier today, I said there are some key facts. That is, some things I taught, for instance, in this conference about the gifts of the Spirit. I will still have some opportunities, maybe as pastor of Saints Community or in the different conventions or seminars where I'm going to still teach on the gifts of the Spirit. And that will be under another atmosphere anyway. But there are certain things that are meant for some atmospheres because of the audience that is there And I call them key messages. That is, this one is why you came. And one of them is this. The first thing, I want to talk about the cost of the course. C-O-S-T. The cost of the course. C-A-U-S-E. Cost. But the cost of the course. The cost of the course. The anointing is for a cause. C-A-U-S-E. If you look at our website, you see a word there. Find a cause to live for and stick with it. That's what I'm talking about. The anointing is for a cause. They were to wait in Jerusalem and be endued with power from on high. Luke 24:49, then they will be witnesses. There's a reason. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost will come on you, and then you shall be witnesses. Matthew 28, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. Go ye therefore into all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and making disciples of all nations, teaching them to observe the things that I have commanded you. Lo, I'm with you to the end of the age. So the authority was for a reason. Mark 16:15. It says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every nation. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. It now says, this sign shall follow them that believe in my name. So the name is for a reason. The name of Jesus, as abused as it is today, people use it to cut cake, use it to open a building, and all sorts of nonsense like that. The name of Jesus was for the cause of the gospel. That is the authority of the gospel. He that descended, ascended, and gave gifts unto men. Authority of redemption. The name of Jesus is the authority of redemption. So the essence of the name is to do exploits in the world and to preach the fullness of the gospel in the world. So the anointing is for a cause. And I said, and I quoted from Miles Monroe, that where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. You will abuse it. When you don't know what something is used for, you will abuse it. If you marry a wonderful wife, a sweet woman, and you don't know what that kind of a woman is for, you will abuse her. If you marry a wonderful husband, and you don't know who he is, you will abuse him. If you have a good membership in your church, and you do not value them, you don't know what they are for, you will abuse them. If you have a good pastor, who is anointed, who is loving and caring, and you don't know the purpose of a man like that, you will abuse him. So where purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. So the minute we do not understand the purpose of the anointing, then we will lose, you know, our sense of proper use of what that we have. I'll give you a rundown, then we go to the details of the teaching. I said the anointing is for a purpose, singular purpose. I told you that the gospel is people-oriented. Have you forgotten that? Never forget it. Matthew 18:20, go into all nations. Mark 16:20, all nations. Acts 1:8, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. The glory of God, Habakkuk 2:14, is supposed to fill the earth as the waters cover the sea. So, and I said waters and sea refer to what? People. So the gospel is people focused. The gospel is about people. Ministry is about people. It's not about programs. It's not about billboards. It's not about any other thing but people. So when we say the anointing is for a cause, that means the anointing is for people. It's for people. It's for people. It's for others. The anointing within you, then the anointing upon you, then the anointing amongst us. All function for the benefit of others. Now, hold on, we're going somewhere. The purpose is lives. What did I say? Lives. People. I taught you the kinds of people. Prostitutes. Now, the Mark 16 will involve prostitutes. It will involve morally bankrupt people, the sick, the oppressed, the possessed, the mentally retarded, the psychologically abused. It will go into different spheres and strata of the society. In Matthew 28, 18, 19, and 20, that will now deal with those people when they are now saved, for you to now begin to teach them. Truth of the matter is this, the minds of many of them will remain the same. So at times they even conduct their lives the way they were conducting their lives before. Yet you are anointed for that purpose. So it is people oriented. It is people focused. It is people targeted at. It's not targeted at enjoying a church service and so on and so forth. Let me be honest with you. When you see a church that has lost its focus for world evangelism, you are seeing a church that does not get involved in world evangelism, you are seeing a church that has lost its focus. Evangelism is not for church growth. As important as church growth is, we're going to look at that tomorrow. Evangelism is for the eternal destinies of humanity. So the purpose, lives. One strategy, the word. What did I call it? What is the strategy? The word. That is the message. One message. The only way we will win the world is by the word. No other way. You will win the world by competing with the world. It's not by good music. It's by the word sung with good music. The how is the power of God. The how is the power of God. That's why in this conference we have emphasized the place of power. Because when you remove that from the message, then it is a lifeless message. It's just mere rhetoric. It's nothing. It means nothing. That's why we have emphasized that. The how is the power of God. And I think we have said that enough here. So I don't want to belabor that point. However, where we are going to is the motivation. Motivation is the strength of anything we are doing. Why are you doing it? Why? Listen carefully now. Why are you doing it? Some people today preach the gospel because they don't have a job. Some preach the gospel today because it's convenient for them to do it. Some do it because they were appointed to a post. And your conviction, or better still, your motivation will determine how far you will go. Throughout the scriptures, there's only one legitimate motivation. And let me tell you what it is. It is every other thing but you. Any other thing but you. That is, the motivation of the gospel is a selfless appeal. An unselfish, a me-absent motivation. I hope you are listening tonight. I hope you are listening. That is a selfless motivation. Selfless. You see, and that is why a lot of people, we're going to look at it in detail, a selfless, don't forget the theme I'm giving you tonight, the costs of the cause. A selfless motivation. Selfless. It has nothing to do with you. So before I go on, I'm going to tell you, because listen carefully, many of you are very young, relatively. I mean, I don't mean you are teenagers, or not even teenagers, but I mean young in every sense of it, in other sense of it. Now, you need to do some homework now. That is, there are some questions you alone can answer. There are some questions you have to throw to yourself or at yourself oftentimes. I ask myself questions regularly to check my motive, to check what I'm doing, to check why I'm doing it. And that is why, you know, I am the last person in the world you can derail based on criticisms or your opinion or making me feel bad. No, no way. Because I check myself often. Why am I doing this? Why? What in the world am I getting out of it? Now, listen carefully. So I'm going to tell you, young man, young woman, watch out, number one, for the trap of ambition. Now, I'm not saying we should not want to do big things for God. In the sense of, I want to take the nations, I want to preach the gospel in every nation. I mean, I want people to hear the gospel, you know. That's what I'm talking about. Ambition. Ambition will deal with the love for titles, not responsibility. How you will know ambition, but an healthy ambition from an unhealthy ambition is, in a healthy ambition, you are looking for more responsibilities. In an unhealthy ambition, you are just looking for authority and fame and acclaim. That's how you are going to know. In a healthy ambition, you are looking for more responsibilities. The one that is unhealthy, you're just looking for people to call your name. Let them call me pastor. That's my first name. When I was born, they named me pastor. Unhealthy ambition. So you must watch out for an unhealthy ambition. The little days I've spent in the body of Christ, and I believe they are my very, 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 very early days, I have seen it on and off. And when these things happen, this carnal attitude can divide ministries, can destroy churches, can even render life hopeless. And you see, when the people when they're ambitious, they say, well, when they're ambitious, and it can set in even with anointed men, even with people that God has chosen. When people are ambitious, they can say anything. Now, look at Acts of the Apostles chapter 20. Don't forget we're sharing in the anointed of Jesus. Paul wasn't sure he was going to come back to Ephesus. And look at me, I would prefer if you do a lot of listening to me, really. I mean, honest here. And these were folks that, I think of all the churches, he spent more time with the Ephesian church. He taught them. He really taught them. I was sharing this, you know, in the room, and I'm saying from my heart, I said, if at the end of my life I'm able to raise, I won't say it here, this number of sons, I said, I will be very fulfilled. I said, I'll be very, very fulfilled. I said, at the end of Paul's ministry, it was so shocking. Asia was where he spent his most time teaching. The whole Asia departed from what he was teaching. That's why I said, listen, and listen very well. Listen and listen very well. In Acts 20, this was part of Asia, Ephesus. As he was leaving, he came around, you know, after, you know, those folks were already ordained into ministry and all that, and they were kind of, the work of the church was growing so much, he grew the word and prevailed, the whole city heard the word and all that, so growth was going on. So he came back, and he began to remind them, he said, look, don't forget, I brought the gospel to you, don't forget, I taught you in all humility, don't forget, I was in much tears, warning you night and day, don't forget how I labored to teach you, don't forget the things we faced in this place to preach the word. He got to a point and I said, I'm going now to Jerusalem. I don't know the things that I'm going to, that's going to befall me. That's why I'm telling you, I'm not sure whether I'm going to be back. See the things the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city that bonds await me. So as he began to speak, please follow me intelligently. He now said to them, I taught you from house to house, publicly. I don't have anything away from you. I said this, I said that, and all that. And he said to them, in verse 25, and now behold, I know that you all among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God shall see my face no more. Whereof I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all. I have not shown to declare unto you all the counsel of God. And I said to them, verse 28, he said, take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, one. Take heed to yourself. What did I say? So I said, you must do an examination. Take heed. That is, pay attention to yourself now. That sometimes you have to shut your ears from what the crowd is saying and pay attention to yourself. And to all the flock which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to feed the church of God which has purchased with his own. Are you in verse 29? For I know this, that after my departure, that's not his death, he's talking about when he leaves Ephesus, shall grievous wolves enter in amongst you, not sparing the flock. It says, grievous wolves. That's the way I'm going. Verse 30. And also of what? Your own selves. That is out of the anointed men. Out of those the Holy Spirit has made overseers, shall men arise speaking perverse things. To do what? To draw away disciples after Jesus. After who? Themselves. And bishop. So it is. Ambition will make a man start to exalt himself by himself. Romans chapter 12 and 3 tells us not to exalt yourself above who you are. Never forget how you got here. That's why Paul took them through their destiny. I mean, their past. Never forget how you got here. Never forget how you got to this point. He now said, be careful about yourself. Ambition is where you love glamour. You want fame. You want authority over people, but not responsibilities. There are so many people like that. You walk into a church, they don't want to work, you just want us to give them titles. You just walk into a church, you are just new, and you think we should give you the microphone to share or to sing. No, things are not done like that. Wait for your time. Let's see you responsible. Some folks can feel bad. and they walk away. Because today people use titles to entice people to stay in churches. And we don't do that here because I don't have that kind of training. So I don't give people what I don't have. Now, I want to show you a story in Matthew 20 and let's see how Jesus sees promotion in the kingdom of God. When a man is ambitious, he begins to scheme. Usually they'll begin to do eye service to the pastor, not necessarily because they're submitting to him. They begin to do eye service. Some of them will begin to start reporting people, you know, to start looking good. But I'm very smart when people do that to me. You begin to report somebody, report that person. I just look at you, really. That's not reporting what somebody has done does not mean you cannot do the same thing. So people think you'll get eye service, they begin to behave well when you are there. When you're not there, they do other things and all that. So we are just scheming, you know, just scheming. Now, Matthew 20, a woman came to Jesus whose sons were part of the 12. And she asked Jesus something. Matthew 20:21. Grant these things to me, that my two sons may sit, one on your right hand and the other on the left, in your kingdom. Now listen carefully. I want you to please follow this very well. Jesus did not fault that request. Nothing wrong, you know. There's nothing wrong, really, in wanting to be a pastor. Paul said, if a man desires the office of a bishop, he desires a good thing. So, if you desire to be on television, to preach, to heal the sick, you want to be all over the world, it's a good desire. But, Paul says, a bishop must be this responsible. So you have to live up to it. Now, look at what Jesus said. He said, no problem. You know not what you are asking. That's the first thing he said. He said, you don't know what you're... It isn't what you're asking is bad. He said, you don't know what you're asking for. He said, are you able to drink of the cup that I shall drink of? To be baptized with the baptism where I'm baptized with? They say unto him, the two guys, they said, we are able. Foolish boys. You know, I've seen such people in ministry. Yes, pastor, we are with you. Foolish boys. You know what you're talking about? Ah, no. Ah. Yes. Are you able? It's all right. You shall drink indeed of my cup, a battle of the battle which I'm baptized with. But to sit on the right hand and on my left is not mine to give. It shall be given to them for whom it is prepared of my Father. And when the 10 heard this, they began to be angry against the two brethren. I don't know why they were angry. Apparently, they also had the same thing in their heart. Because you don't call for anger. Now, why should you say such a thing? That means they didn't like those ones too to be their seniors. Are you following what I'm saying here? What's the cause of the anger? Number two, I mean, you shouldn't get angry if somebody will be put ahead of you. Why should you get angry? Or some folks are angry. I've been in the church before you. They say, ah, Jesus called me on Friday, called you on Saturday, I'm your senior. Do you understand that? Say, ah, I got to this ministry very early. So what have you been doing in the ministry since you got in? You know what God said to Cain? He said, if you do well, if you really do well, have you done well? That's the question. It's not because of longevity that they give people authorities, responsibility. Now look at what Jesus says. You know that the princes of the Gentiles exercise dominion over them, and they are great exercise authority upon them. It shall not be among you. I want us to read the B part of verse 26. Everybody, 1, 2, go. Up. Everybody, I said, 1, 2, go. Whosoever shall be among you, let him be your minister. Again. Verse 27. So the way up in the kingdom is down. I don't mean that, you know, literally. I'm saying the way to authority is service. Service. It's not ambition. Service. Serve. That's the way there. Matthew 23, verse 11. He that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased. He that humbles himself shall be exalted. Exalt yourself, you will be abased. Don't exalt yourself. Don't push yourself to the point where we'll begin to know you. Don't make yourself visible. First of all, be a servant. Now, maybe you know how many people have an ambition to be a servant. Let me say, if you know that. You don't have an ambition to serve. The ambition usually is to have others to serve you. That's to disqualify yourself. Number two, competition. Avoid it. Avoid trying to run someone's race. I say this often in Yoruba. Don't begin to compete with, and that happens a lot among very young, exuberant, infertile world men. They begin to race after the other person. Try to show, I can do this one, I can do that one. Bearing the anointing of the Spirit is costly. Don't forget. We'll get to that now. 2 Corinthians 10. Verse 12. For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves. But they measuring themselves by themselves are comparing themselves among themselves. What happened to them? They are not wise. It's foolishness. Unhealthy, stupid competition. Is this person better than that person? That's stupid competition. So they are fools. They are not wise. So let me tell you this. Pastor, preacher, wherever you are, don't let your members get you into trouble. They will try and compare you with people. They will try and make you feel great. They try and make you feel that there is none like you. And let me tell you this. That's just a lie. It's a whole lie. I mean, as I started growing in ministry, and, you know, I thank God for the experiences I've had. They're healthy, some of them very painful, but then very fruitful experiences. I learned this from Kenneth Hagin, and that is, the praise of human beings are like chewing gum. Chew it, but don't swallow it. Chew it, but don't swallow it. Just enjoy while it lasts. I've seen people write me beautiful letters, call me just anything. I've seen people say they saw me in visions and God told them about me. I've seen people say angels tapped them and said, that is the man for all seasons. And people say, oh God, sir, I can see that the nations have been given to you. Blah, 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 blah. It didn't take them weeks before, just like Jesus. And I don't feel bad about it because to me, that's the cost of the anointing. Just like Jesus, in a couple of weeks, just let Pilate get you. Just let the chief priest send somebody to come and arrest you. And the same lips will say, crucify. So get ready for the cost of the anointing. It's not as easy as it sounds. Because the anointing takes us on a mission. Did you observe that the two times he mentioned the anointing, he used just one word, go. The anointing is not to have a nice time in service. It's to go. It's for a mission. It's for a cause. It's for a purpose. Now, hold on. Competition. In 1 Corinthians 3, the issue in Corinth was Apollos, Peter, Paul, very silly folks. Paul was their father. Apollos came to help the work of Paul. Peter was an invited minister. They now divided the church like that. decided to compare. What do you think about pastor's message in comparison with Apollos? Such people don't mean well. They just want to create divisions. And they began to do that. And Paul said, well, who is Apollos? He said, who is Peter? Who is Paul? We are all ministers. He said, all things are yours. 1 Corinthians 3:21. All things are yours. Then he went on in 1 Corinthians 4:7. However, you may have 10,000 instructors. You cannot have many fathers. I begat you through the gospel of Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 4:15. And oftentimes, really, let me be frank with you. It's not that they want to follow Apollos. It's not that they wanted to follow Peter. They just wanted to stop following Paul and be on their own. And anybody will look for any excuse to be on his own. So watch people. Don't let people get into trouble and begin to compare, you know, and compare that. Don't get involved in things like that. Number three, and watch out for glory. Watch out for people. Sorry to say this, but I'm sorry. I mean, I don't mean to say this in a derogatory form. But guys, watch out for ladies. Amen. They do the lot of glorification. They will cook for you. They will send you text messages. Pastor, I was so blessed. I was so touched by the message. In fact, all my life, I've never had a message like this. You are a man of God. You are the anointing of God. You are the Holy Spirit. They will tell you that. A lady, years ago, I was very young. And, you know, I went to this boys' school, so I was a bit naive. In the sense of I didn't relate well with women, ladies, so I was very, very naive. I just was a boy. And she said this. She said, sincerely, sir, he said, if I've ever desired any husband with somebody like you, I was not in any relationship, she was not in one. That's so intelligent. And I said, wow, that's great. I said, I pray for you, in Jesus' name, that God will give you my twin. See, they can get you into trouble. So honest truth is that was that week I saw the lady, I don't know where she is. Don't get carried away by glory. Don't let people call you things like you are the most anointed man they've ever seen. Just speak it out. It's a lie. They will tell you that, sir, you are the Jesus of our time. And let people do things like that to you. Don't allow things like that. I'm not saying, don't say, stop it. What you are saying, stop it. It means it's affecting you. Just laugh and move away from it. When people talk like that too often to me, I just look at them. They are on their way out. Because loyalty is not in words, it's in deeds. Alright, so watch out for those things. Now, let's get to the issue. I said to you that the gospel is people-focused. Stop writing. I beg you. That means you are anointed to always be around people. You are always going to be... You're so stubborn. Okay, go on, write. You are always going to be amongst people. Is somebody following what I'm saying here? And these people will be all manner of people. Different species, subgroup, classifications. And we have universal sets, subsets. So don't expect some mummified people. Everybody just the same. Holy. Somebody do holy. Another person will do holy. Another will do holy. Another will say oh. Another will just be looking. I mean, yes, you are going to be amongst people. All kinds of people. In this conference now, as we are teaching, some people have said it often and often, take notes, be particular about details, so people are sitting here looking like this. It's true. It's true. That's you. It's true. Get my point? And we've been saying it, brother. You know, no, John, not in this conference. No, not in this conference. But you know, we can be teaching like that. And the glory of God is that somebody is stealing phones. Not in this conference. No, never. So we just be taking money. But not here. I'm just saying general. You know, just trying to. Yet we are going to be among such people. We must love them, pray for them, care for them. No, I'm not there yet. The gospel is people-focused. So, look here. Be ready for people. All kinds of people. Be ready for all kinds of people. If you are going to be wet, you cannot hit the water. No, you can't, because you cannot get the wet without the water. Don't forget, we're talking about the cost of the cost. Second Corinthians chapter 6. I mean, we have read about the anointing of the Spirit, right? The power of God. And you know, you feel like, my, if I have the power of God like this, I'll go be riding in the sky. Just hold on. Let's read someone's life, you know. Second Corinthians chapter 6. Paul, the apostle, who worked mighty deeds, who taught us concerning spirituals, who said we should covet earnestly the best of things, who told us to be used of God, not to be slothful in business, serving the Lord and all that. Paul now says this. Second Corinthians 6:1. We then as workers together with him, beseech you that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Verse 3. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. You know what he's saying there? He's saying, don't be offended. So that the ministry is not blamed. That's a little bit deep. Because what he's about to say is going to naturally affect you. But he's saying, don't be offended. Because if you get into offense, the ministry will be blamed. Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. He says, rather, but in all things are proving ourselves as ministers of God. Let's read. In much patience, in much affliction, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes. When I see Christians talk about persecution, I talk about persecution in their office. I just say, get out. Persecution is for the ministry of the gospel. Come and tell me one rubbish that in your office they're not promoting you. How is that one persecution? Then change the office. Get a job somewhere else. The guy says being persecuted, and they offer him another job, so he now shifts. Now he's thanking God. Is that persecution? Do you balance our persecution? That's not persecution. Persecution is for the gospel's sake. Now please follow. It says, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings. That word watching there is sleeplessness. Come on. Did I get you? Sleeplessness. In fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the arm of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. Now, I would also read verse 8 together. One to go. Again, that means we're going to get honor. We're also going to get what? Dishonor. As ministers of the power of God. Look at the next thing. By what else? They come side by side. By evil report and by good report. The last one. As deceivers, yet we are true. As deceivers, yet we are true. That means they will call you a deceiver. They will dishonor you. They will ruin your name. They will spoil your name. They will put your name behind all manner of things. Years ago, it got so bad. I was so young. Still in my teens, coming out of my teens. And the kind of things I faced, it was, and you know, I like power. I was busy. And then, I couldn't imagine my, how can you say that kind of thing? I was looking at, So I was crying. I cried like a baby. So I said I wanted to end my life. And God told me, you don't have character yet for ministry. My God. What are you running from? You don't have the character. You are running from the people you were sent to. What do you think Jesus was like? He came unto his own. And his own received him not. They're not receiving him. They didn't just say, we don't want you. No. He said, we don't want you alive. I said, Lord. And then I went to a preacher, a prominent preacher. We were talking years later. And we were talking. I told him a couple of things. And he said, young man, let me tell you something. He said, do you know why criticisms are affecting you like this? I said, why, sir? You love praises. If you don't, you'll be dead to both. That's all. You love praises. Please follow me now. He says, in honor, dishonor will be presented to some as deceivers, some as true. Some will know us as honorable, some will know us as dishonorable. Some will get good report about us, some will get evil reports about us. Now you will say, oh, the world, you know the world, these worldly people. Please turn to chapter 11. Is the world, unbelievers, talking about Muslims. Muslims and idol worshippers. To be frank with you, the persecution from the world is not as strong as the one that comes from the church. Jesus' greatest problems were not the Romans that were colonizing Israel. They were the Jews, his brethren. Not the Romans. Pilate did not see any sense in what they were saying. But the Jews saw every sense in what they were saying. Because they had ambition. 2 Corinthians 11. Are you there? Verse 24. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes above measure. In praises more frequent. In death often. Of the Jews 5 times I received 40 stripes, save one. 25, thrice was I beaten with rods, once I was stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day have I been in the deep. Now 26, that's where I'm going. In journeys often, in perils of water. What is peril? Danger, very good. In the danger of robbers, in the danger of my own countrymen, in the danger of the unbelieving, the Ethan. In perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in watchings often, in hunger, in thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. So he separated the heathen from his own people, among my countrymen, among the heathen. Perils among Christians. They even made things difficult for me. They told the Galatian church, he said, have I become your enemy because I told you the truth? Very serious. The cost of the course is yourself. You. It's not your car. It's not your house. It is you. When I say you, I mean your own desires. What you would have done. Your emotions. Your own passion. The cost says, it's no more me. I or myself. It's now Jesus, they, them, and those. That's the cost. How else? You know the truth. Many of our preachers today, with due respect, if they were on the cross, you know, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for you know what they do. They will have cost everybody. You will not live long. But it came because of them. Is somebody following what I'm saying? Are you getting this at all? The cost of the cost is you. You have to take yourself out of the picture. And that is painful. It's not simple. It's not easy. You have to take yourself out of the picture. It's not so easy staying as a preacher of the gospel. For some of us that answered the call of God very young, it's been painful. Particularly when you lost your youth to serve people. When your colleagues were going out to have fun and holiday, you didn't have any. You didn't have that vibrant youth running all over the place. Yet, who cares? That's the cost. Is either you want to pay the cost or you want to forget the cost. It's no more I. It's no more myself. It's no more me. How can you talk to me like that? That one will die gradually. Do you know who you are talking to? How can I take that out of the picture? You have to take that out of the picture. It's difficult, it's not a one-time activity. But it's something you can practice and gradually grow into it. Jesus said, you have to come down. You have to go down. In John 13, he taught them a simple principle. So you guys, come. They knew him as Lord, Master. And he said, he took off his garments. And then he began to wash their feet. Everyone. I want you to look at it symbolically. Jesus went down. And he went to their feet. He identified with the dirt. He showed them, I am your servant. He washed everyone's feet. He washed it. He washed it. He washed it. And he went to the most debasing form. Let's see how he did it. He did not wear a Versace suit to do it. Please, he didn't. That was not what he did. The Bible says, he laid aside his garments, took a towel, and guarded himself. He actually appeared like a slave. Now, I am your servant. He said, I'm doing it so that you will be that example to others. Have you taken off your garments? Or do you still have them on? Are you still MD? Are you still doctor? Are you still that? Leave me alone. I know who I am. I know what I do. You have to take off your garments. Then take the towel and look like a slave. He now went down. Brother, if Jesus, the creator of the world, can go down, who are you? He went down. He washed your feet. I hope you are listening to this. He came down. Ministry is not tea party. It's not a cocktail. It's not a dinner where we are going to keep having a nice time. No. There are tears in the work. Tears. And more tears. You will weep at times. You will cry. But there's grace in your life because you will not leave. You will stay. Painful. Hurtful. How would you feel like? They began to say around Jerusalem that Jesus was of the prince of Beelzebub. They called him a deceiver. They began to question his birth. They questioned his teaching. They questioned his wisdom. They questioned everything he did. Yet, he laid aside his majesty. The God who never lived in time became a child, was given a name, started having age, started learning. The omniscient started learning. The omnipotent was restricted into a boat. He couldn't go one place at one time. Ministry is not tea party. Will lie against you. People will not appreciate you. People will not see what you are doing as so important. They won't believe in it. And I will say this to you. There is a temptation when things are hard. That temptation is to grumble and to wish you were doing something else. Don't take the temptation. Even when the funniest of people, deceivers, dishonest people, haters of humanity begin to lie against you, learn character. What did I say? Use that opportunity to build your character. Build humility. Build meekness. That's the time to learn patience. You know, let me tell you, look here. You know, no amount of teaching on patience, and the Greek word and the Hebrew word, can describe patience until you exercise patience. Patience. Some folks will not understand you in 15 years. I was telling somebody, I don't know what day I said. The guy was complaining. Why you? I said, look, how old are you? He mentioned, I said, that means you have a lot of years in the ministry. Be patient. Some folks that believe you today, in some years to come, they will stop believing you. How many of you know that? Some that don't believe today, eventually believe. That's the work. How would you feel if you had Judas in your ministry team? And he said, let me tell you a secret. He called the 12. He told them intimate, personal things. Judas went to meet the Pharisees and told them everything. You want to get in? This is the time he will be at home. He will be doing this. He will be with this person. He will wear this. There was a Judas. At the fulfillment of destiny, there was a Peter. Jesus, as he took Jesus, Peter brought out a sword. Never! Don't touch my pastor. Hold on. As they were leaving, he began to withdraw small by small, little by little. Then farther and farther Peter went. Stuff. very tough. Father and father, Peter went. To make matters worse, another pastor now said, are you a member of that church? No, no, sir. He couldn't identify with the shame. No, sir. I don't know them. I think I heard about the ministry when I was in the womb. But when I came out of the womb, I don't think I heard about it. Sorry. Is that not the CD? No, no, at all. No. I don't even know how the CD got to my. And the third time, Jesus turned and looked at him. That was pain. You had the Holy Ghost meeting, Peter, you said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Let me tell you something. The most impossible thing, there's a knowledge you can never know. Remember that knowledge? The heart of a man. You will never know it till you die. If you try to know it, you will be deceived further. If you try to know it, if you think you have known it, that shows how foolish you are, that you don't know anything. You can only see people. That's not my message anyway. There's a cost to the cost. If you are going to stay on track, take yourself out of the picture. Your feelings will be hurt. I mean, some folks just don't care about you. They don't give a damn. I mean, sometimes you cry to God. I mean, I've done that. I say, Lord, I forsook so much for this fellow. Then he whispered into my ears, I forsook everything for you too. You said you want to serve me. You want to identify with me? And have the anointing of Jesus on your life, then the servant cannot be greater than his master. Jesus said, if they believe me, they will believe you. If they refuse me, they will refuse you. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they lied against me, they will do the same thing. They lied against Jesus. They misquoted him. They said, he is going to destroy Solomon's temple if he stays alive. My God. Have you been misquoted before? My God, I have been misquoted severally. I've gotten to the point now. Okay. Because I just have to press on. He just misquoted. He said so, so, and so. Got to the point. He said we should forget Moses, and Moses is a liar. And throw his clothes and say that. But Jay, you disappoint me, Jay. You said that. He kept quiet. Someone said this. In the times of trouble, most painful things are not the words of those that hate us. They are the silence of those that we thought loved us. Your silence is worse. Not the words of those that don't like us. That the silence of those that are supposed to be with us. To keep silence is worse. Jay, you mean you said you would destroy the temple? I didn't know. Whatever happens to you is your business. He walked away. He could have called 10,000 angels. He endured the contradiction of sinners. The anointed one. See, like the anointing? You sure? The anointing of the Spirit is not for dancing in the Spirit. It's for service. And service ain't easy. Service is not tea party. Service is not dinner. Service is not Thanksgiving. Service is not taking lunch. Service is not eating chicken and chips. Service is not a nice time. I had a nice time. Service is painful. You will go down. You will wear your towel. Then you begin to wash the feet of the person that will deceive you, You wash the feet of the person that will betray you. You wash the feet of the person that will deny you. You wash the feet of the person that will run when the heat is on. It's not about hearing my tape. It's not that. It's not about, thank God, we are moving. What if we don't move? Painful. In life, I've seen people say things, and I said, you? I thought we were praying together, and you said, thus saith the Lord, Pastor, thus saith, you? And God said, I called you alone. Take yourself out, son, and face the walk. It doesn't change the fact that that guy will still be your friend later. You are only learning character. Somebody follow what I'm saying tonight. You are only... So that don't make enemies out of people. Are you following me? Learn your lessons. Don't... You see, the devil will tempt you now to harbor unforgiveness, and you now hate people. You now be responding with evil. No, you will never find me doing. I'll just keep quiet. I'm learning. I've seen years those, in fact, those have written terrible things against me, terrible things and letters, and they'll tell you you are an evil person. And today, I told some of you, I said 10 years after, I saw two of them walk back and say, "You are my father. My God." After you called me a fool, that's not easy. Somebody you brought up, you fed, you sent to school, you spent nights. Do you know what is so difficult? You're a young boy, you're just about to take jam, and as you're reading for your jam, you're doing all night prayer, praying for somebody. Then you are fasting, Lord, that this guy will grow spiritually. And then he turns around and says, you're a fool. Painful. 10 years after, he says, you are my father. How many 10 years is not so short? You know, it's not short and easy. But that's it. Because all through the 10 years, I kept calling him. He said, What is it? I love you. I was learning character. I was learning love. It's not about saying, I walk in love. I'm a child of love. The life of God is in me. Got to love in deed and not in word. There's a cost to it. You are here today because I decided to pay it. If I had yielded to some stuff a few years ago, few months, few years and years ago, you will not be here. So when you do not pay the cost, it is costly. It can cost Rotimi his destiny. It can cost Femi his life. So if you don't want the heat, don't enter the door of the kitchen. It's not tea party. Am I talking to somebody here? You sure? Be patient. You will learn patience. You will learn endurance. You will learn to take shit. Sorry for that word. You know, a lot of shit. You are learning. For every whip on Jesus, for every spit on Jesus, for every vile word they spoke against him, it further confirmed that was the Messiah. So those things just confirm the fact that I'm anointed. That's all. Let me read the words of Archbishop Idao Sefton. True words. The devil does not attack a retreating army. He directs all his arsenals against the army on the advance. It is not possible to be on the advance and not confront attempts and interception by the enemy. He says, oppositions and criticisms are not signs of failure or discouragement. They are not stumbling blocks, they are stepping stones. Read something else to you. Hope you are listening. All right. The man who succeeds learns to live with criticisms. He must adopt the right philosophy about criticisms. people usually only criticize the man in front. The failing man, the non-successful man, the orthodox run-of-the-mill man commands no attention. He's ordinary. He's going nowhere. He doesn't force men to think new. These are the two classes of people that we have. So, you mustn't... Alright, those with solutions and those with problems. Those with solutions, the man with solutions is the man in demand. Anybody can create problems, discuss them, analyze them, and categorize them. Only the man of actions has the solution. So you just have to take it. You know, there was someone that told me a few weeks ago, and he said, I really covet your friendship. I want you. And he was saying so much. And I remembered 11 years ago, he was in a meeting and he prophesied my death in 5 years. Said in 5 years. And he said, gifts of the Spirit will dry up in a couple of weeks. He said it by tongues and interpretation. I was there 11 years ago. But I didn't hate him. I didn't hold anything against him. It was difficult. Now, I'm going to be a blessing to him. That's the cost you pay. You have to stop being selfish. So, let me see your hand if you follow what I'm saying. I hope somebody's not sleeping up here and just dozing and saying, yes, but he's getting it. If you came to World Changers Conference and all you got from World Changers Conference, there's power in the Holy Ghost and all that, and this doesn't enter, you just missed everything here. You just came. You'll come back next year and you'll be empty because you did not get the core. This is the pillar. This is what holds everything. Selflessness. Unselfish approach to the gospel of Christ. That's why Paul will say, I consider everything dung. Till I have power to marry, I did not marry. I had power to do this, I did not use it. Are you ready for that? To pay the price. The book of 1 Samuel chapter 6. There's a beautiful story there I love to talk about. And for you to know and listen to this, say, Pastor, how do I go about it? Listen. The grace is sufficient for you. There's grace in your life. You can endure. In 1 Samuel chapter 6, Dagon, the god of the Philistines, had the Ark of the Covenant in his shrine. And so, somewhere along the line, because the Ark was in the wrong place, it began to cause trouble in each city. So they now moved the Ark out of that place and began to took it to another town. And that town had already watched CNN. So they had heard the trouble it did in the land of Philistines. We don't want it, thank you. God bless you. Don't bring the ark here. Alright, let's give it to another person. They said, no, we watch Sky TV. Please don't bring the ark here. So I said, what do we do? So I said, let's send it back to Israel. So I said, well, is it the ark or is this just circumstance? Then they said, let us find out. They put the ark on a milking mother cow. Everybody knows the instinct of that mother who was just giving birth is to the children, to the kids. So put the ark on this cow. Let us watch. Is it God or is this just circumstance? Is he preaching the gospel because he's called or is just busy? Put the hack on these animals. Then he began to watch. Is it God that is causing this or just circumstance? And then the two mama cows began to go towards Israel. And they were going the straight way. They did not bend. They were watching. Wow. So they began to complain. But yet they were going one way. They wanted to go to the mama, to the children, but the hawk pushed them to Israel. Wow. Then it is God. It wasn't just desire. It wasn't just apostles. It is God. I have enough grace on my life to withstand persecution. I have enough grace on my life to despise how I feel. The grace that preaches is a grace that endures. That was what God said to Paul. He said, the same grace is sufficient for you. It's not just to preach to those people. It's to also live with them. It's to also endure what they are doing. That I tell people of. In Daniel's den, we call it Daniel in the lion's den. I say the lions in Daniel's den. Darius did not know what to do. So he was distorted. You have to throw Daniel into the den. He said, all right. So I'll watch whether it's God. So they got two hungry animals, lions, that were badly hungry. Hungry lions that wanted to kill. They threw them and let us watch. Hungry lions, they deprived them of food probably for many days. When they see human beings, they go after. They entered in there. God said, no. God, no. No. Sir, can I touch his biceps? Yeah. But don't eat. Wow. God, are you sure? No at all. God said, no. See flesh. God said no. Now, if an animal can obey God, I can. It is not unnatural for a creature to do the will of his creator. I can obey God. It's tough. I want to go back to the kids, but the ark said no. I want to touch Daniel and take him out. God said no. And it's just no. There's a cost for the cause. There are people called to the ministry. Give me some sound. And I say it often. There are people called to the ministry who ought to stay clear of marital relationships. People have done it in scriptures. People do it to me. They know. No. They will ruin just everything in their course. Now, it's not something they will have to force you to do. It's not something. It's something out of your will. And there are others too who are staying off marital relationships that ought to get into it. Who have been taught such nonsense that if you don't marry, you are not fulfilled. Awful nonsense. Awful teaching. Awful, terrible, stupid instructions. Do not grumble. Do not complain. Just learn character. The grace of God on your life can keep you growing straight like those mama cows. You feel like complaining. Keep going. You have destiny. 2 Timothy 4:7. Paul said, I have fought the good fight. How many of you know that was not a confession of faith? That was reality. I fought a good fight. That means I fought things. Be ready to fight things. I fought things. But things I had to do. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. The church Paul labored for the most, the Corinthian church, was the church that decided to receive other ministers. Mock him. Paul said, what have I done to you? I've cared so much for you and I got nothing out of it. Big deal. If they had persecuted Jesus, that had happened to Jesus, knock it off, Jack. It's going to happen to you.
It's going to happen to you. Because you share in the same commission. You share in the same anointing. If you don't want the heat, just leave the kitchen. Someone follow me here. Not even. Stop grumbling. Stop. VR. My image. Your image? Your ministry? No, it's his own. Let God take the glory. Let him take the glory. Something beautiful happened in Acts 9. When Saul was going around killing Christians and all that, Jesus said, that was deep revelation. He said, Saul, why are you persecuting my people? Why are you persecuting me? Get to that point. It's all about him. It's all about him. It's all about him. Yet not I. Pray for me softly. We're getting to a place now. A point in this conference. If you have not been listening, don't act it. Just praise God and leave this place and go sleep. In 1 Corinthians 9, the word man will not get to this point, but you have to get to this point. Verse 9. Paul said, I chose not to marry. I chose to work, to receive, not from you guys. I chose not to take out of your carnal things. I suffer all things lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Verse 12. I did not use my rights. Verse 15. Verse 16. Can we read that together? Although I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yay! Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. That's not a confession of it. That's not who you are in Christ. That is to place a curse on yourself. That's a vow. Do you have any vows? No, we don't preach that again. They place the vow. Place the curse. You know what woe is? What is woe? You know what it is? The evil before. Let me not be well if I preach not the church. That's deep. That's not worship. That's not singing a song. That is putting your life on the line. Whoa! I preach not the gospel of Christ. I've said this many times before I met many of you. I've said this on many pulpits. I said, if I teach anything else but the redemptive work of Jesus, I've said it many ways, many places. I said, let me not be well on the face of the earth. He didn't come out of reading Kenyon. Get it wrong! He didn't come out of reading Kenyon. Or listening to a tape, the conviction. I will preach this the last drop of my blood. The commitment. A vow I made with tears. I won't change this message. No matter what comes against it, it's the price. Galatians 1, he said, if I preach something else, let me be a curse. Is that who you are in Christ? Nah. Not tea party. Have you made a vow for the gospel before? Unconditional commitment. Placing your life on the line. Woe unto me. That's deep. That's deep. If I preach not the gospel. Now, does that take him to hell? No. The Christian. That's commitment. if Jesus did not go to the cross, would he have stopped being God? He said, my death is your life. He would have stopped being God. You want the power of God? Where is your commitment? You pay the price. Yet he has said, his grace is sufficient for you. I can bear the ark and I will not turn to the children. I can be in Daniel's den and I will not touch Daniel. I will not follow my instincts. I will not follow my passion. I will not follow my desire. I will let my desires, sexual, emotional, monetary, financial, I lay it on the altar. Let it go. I vow to preach the gospel. This is not a call. This is not for small boys. What I'm talking about is not for glory. It's for a few that understand what I'm saying. I want to go the long haul. When you hear, I have fought the good fight, go back and see how he did it. I vowed. It meant he kept his vow. That's not talking to pastor. Pastor, we are with you. Forget that. It's to God. Lord, I will follow this course to the end. Am I talking to somebody here? I hope I made the point. Do you still feel bitter? Imagine you are preaching the gospel. People are getting healed and you are sick. Get on the pulpit. You say, Jesus Christ is your provider. You have debts to pay. You can't grumble. For yet making many rich. Cast down, but not forsaken. We are despaired even of life. That's the cost. That's how the gospel got to you. That's how the gospel got to Nigeria. Men paid the price. Well, let's bow for our eyes closed.